And she shall bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he that shall save his people from their sin. For it is he that shall save his people from their sin. We've been talking about this wonderful name of Jesus over a period of weeks. In the 9:45 service, we've been talking about the church returning to the original pattern. God said, according to the pattern. One of the great things that's been lost to the church is the true value of the name of Jesus. We've learned how to spell it. We've learned how to say it. But to recognize that name given to us means that we act representatively for the Lord Jesus Christ. That he's not here. He is at the throne of God, making intercession for us, and we're here on this earth acting not about him but for him. Little did Mary know the meaning of that angelic visit, nor of the command that his name shall be called Jesus when he appeared that day, the angel. But that name has grown from that day to now to fill the whole earth. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus. The choir sang that beautiful song just a moment ago. Oh, how sweet the name. The name of Jesus. If we could just recognize once more to realize what's been given to us in this name of Jesus, that we have been absolutely given the power of attorney to act in the very person of Christ on this earth in which we live. Listen to it. The name means justice, love, righteousness, civilization. It means everything that's worthwhile on this earth. We were talking in the Bible class a little bit ago about the revivals of history. They have changed everything. Revival under Luther brought the Renaissance, produced the middle class people, destroyed serfdom, and lifted people up to live better on this earth. It's always been that way. The name of Jesus, when really exalted by the church, makes a civilization a better place to live. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, or you shall call his name Emmanuel. Or it really means the incarnate one. God with us. Or God incarnate. God in us. God on this earth. Emmanuel means just that. For the word, the Bible said, was made flesh and dwelt among us. And it's a name of this incarnate Jesus that's catching our attention this morning. His name on this earth is what he was when he was on this earth. If we could just know that, we've learned how to say it. People have learned how to baptize that way and think because that they say that name in baptism that they're fulfilling the command. But the name means the character and the authority of Christ himself. And we have been given that as believers to act in his behalf. Jesus knew the place that his name would hold among men. Men would love it. Men would love it enough to die for it. Others would hate it enough to murder for it. He knew what that name and the place that it would take among men. He knew because that name was he himself. He said of his church, they hated me, they'll hate you. If the world loves you, it's because you're of it. He knew that his name was going to be the same as himself being here. And that men that be no middle ground, they'd love him enough to die for him or hate that name enough to murder for it. This is just the way it turned out. And in his name, Matthew 12:21 says, shall the Gentiles hope. In his name shall the Gentiles hope. How true that is. The name of Jesus had been the only name that could stop wars between nations. The name bears within it love, light, liberty, joy. All that men ever hope for in this world is in the name of Jesus. No gift ever given to you and I that can compare with the name of Jesus. We, the church, you know, we were talking, when a woman marries a man, she takes his name. We've took the name of Jesus, given the authority now to act and move, yet we've lost what it really means. The church today knows all that God intends to do and wants to do in a verbal way. But to make that a living reality in this generation is the desire of Almighty God. If you and I don't, somebody else will, because he's going to have such a church on this earth. There will be a people. Listen to this. In Matthew chapter 18 and 5, and he's talking. He said, and whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name, he brought the little children to him. And he said, if you receive these children in my name, and he goes on to tell us the terrible tragedy of you abusing one of those children. But he tells us that if we'll receive a child in his name, and what a judgment he pronounces upon anyone who injures and hurts. Now, it is peculiarly precious the way Jesus links his name with the humanity of childhood. How he links that name with little children, bringing them about him. The 20th verse carries us into the mystery of Christ's oneness with the believer where they meet together. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. For many shall come in my name, saying, I'm Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24 and 5. He said, in this name, you and I coming together in that name. That is, in the very person of Christ. Not just say, I'm here in the name of Jesus. Anybody can say that word. But to recognize that for you to be here is for Christ to be here. That's what's wonderful about this life. We've been called of God to be bearers of that name. Wherever we go, he is there. This is the great truth of the gospel. I've talked to people and working on jobs, and those jobs were very vicious. One great lady in the church for a long time, and a wonderful Christian friend, worked in a place, very terrible language and abuse. She asked me the question, did I think she ought to quit? I said, it won't be any different anywhere else you go. But I can tell you, you're the only avenue that God has of getting into that place. God has no other way to get there. But for you to be there is for Christ to be there when he lives in us. That's the meaning of the name of Jesus. How well Jesus understood his name would mean to the world. He knew that false teachers and imposters would come in his name, and he warns the church of that danger that you'll confront them. Go ye therefore, he said, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is the great commission and the apostolic formula for baptism. Go ye therefore, he said, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name, glory to God, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. That's in Matthew. When you come to that name in the Gospel of Mark, listen to it. In the Gospel of Mark, there are but four references to that name. John said unto him, Teacher, we saw one casting out demons in thy name, and we forbade him because he followed not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not. For he that is for us is not against us. No, this one outside of the apostolic company before Pentecost had learnt the power of that name. And John said, we saw one that wasn't of our company casting out devils in that name. And they forbade him, but Jesus said, don't forbid him. You see, that name was great even before he died. Men were casting out devils, healing the sick in his name. This in itself is a striking fact worthy of a whole lot of thinking. Before he ever died, that name had become such a value. Yet to the church today, it's almost lost. I mean, we talk and we sing, but to recognize that that's like giving the church a check with it's already signed, saying, my name, you can do the works of God. Hallelujah. Now, of course, we're talking about born-again believers. We're talking about people that walk with God. We're talking about people that live, not carnal, but spiritual. Amen. Listen to it. And you shall be hated of all men, he says in Mark 13:13. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But he that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved. He knew the hatred that that name would generate against those that really bore that name. Not those that talked about it. Most religion talk about it. But to bear that name means that men seeing you and I are seeing Christ. Amen. He knew the hatred that would be turned against them. Those that bore that name. Those that knew the value of that name and bore that name. He knew what his followers would face. And he prepares them with this warning. Amen. He prepares them. You shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. You know, the Bible said men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Then just before he went back to heaven, he said to us, you're the light of the world. What made him light? In him was life. That life was the light of men. It was the very character and life of Christ in us that made us the light of the world. They hated him because he exposed their evil deeds. And he'll hate that church that bears his name and exposes the wickedness and the evil of this world. They also will be hated, and he warned us of such. It's a sad thing when the church comes to the place that the world accepts her as just a part of the system. It's a tragedy of all tragedies when there's no hatred of that world, when there's not that that stands against it. Everything outside of God was against Christ. You hear me? Governments, everything outside of God was against the Son of God. And I can tell you this morning, if we make that Christ real on this street corner, everything in hell will be against it. Everything will be against it. Just making him real. That's all. In my name. That's what he's talking about. When he says and speaks of this name. You, he said, are the light of the world. You bear my name now. I'm not here, you're here. And because you're here, I'm here. And they hated me, they'll hate you because you will expose them for what they are. When we can sit in the middle of them as just another institution, amen, that men can take or leave with nothing against or nothing for. That's the way religion is today. Just you mind your business, we'll mind ours. They want to relegate us somewhere to a back alley. But I'm telling you, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And what goes on this earth is our business. I said it is our business. Whatever takes place on this earth is our business. This is the Lord's earth. We're going to inherit it with him. Righteousness one day is going to cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. How do you think that's going to happen? By that glorified church with Christ at her head. There must be righteousness here now. I said there must be righteousness here now. The world has to see the four gleams of that kingdom now. This is the key. This is why we're here. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. Listen to this. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. This is a great commission which he gave to those disciples and to the church. In the scripture, Jesus specifies some of the things that name shall do. In that name, cast out devils. In that name, heal the sick. In that name, overcome every enemy against us. In that name, you know, I preached here one time on the weapons of the church, and I dealt with the blood, the cross, and the name of Jesus. The blood, the cross, and the name of Jesus. We take the blood and we plead it against. There's not really a scripture for that because it works. The blood of Jesus is the all-encompassing thing of this Bible. But the blood is a place that secures the ground. Amen. The blood secures the ground on which we must stand. And if we stand on that ground, secured by the blood, letting the cross do its work to that carnal nature, we can stand there and hurl the name of Jesus at the powers of darkness. There's nothing we cannot do in the name of Jesus, church. There has to be a rising up to this hour. Nothing that cannot. My name, he said, you can cast out devils. Amen. Almost bewilderness. It almost bewildered us when we think that the God of the universe would give the humanity, born again humanity, the right to use his name. Give men a legal right to use the power and the authority of the Son of God. That's exactly what happened when he gave us a right to use that name. He gave us the legal right to use the power and the authority of the Son of God. I don't mind telling you, I was running that Bible on that software on this name 972 times. This name is mentioned from Matthew right through the book of Revelation. But as I begin to look at this and see what he said, all connected with that name, I had to bow my head with shame. I could hear the prophet as he said, you've healed the hurt of my people only slightly. I could hear the indictment. Children come forth to the birth and not enough strength to bring them into the kingdom. The sick are there to be healed. The possessed are there to be set free. And yet for the most part, the church doesn't know what she possesses. Doesn't know what she possesses. As I begin to see these scriptures, as he began to open up, amen, over and over, that in that name, that a believer, when the Bible talks a believer, talking about believing ones, those that believe on Christ, not special faith, not special gifts, but a believing one. He's saying that a mother can lay her hands on that sick baby, and that sick baby be made well. That's what he's saying. In my name, he's saying, you can do that. You that believe. He's talking to you and I'm not talking about to a special breed of preachers, a special faith given to somebody, but to believe in one's people. How many of you born again? Wave at me. I know you're still awake. Amen. You born again this morning. You know God. Listen, the Bible said you are a believer. That's what the Bible said that a Christian is. I am a believer. You know what a believer does? A believer believes. Amen. We've made believing such a thing. It's such a thing that's difficult for us to get a hold of. But I'll tell you what. I believed in Christ when I was saved. I was born again. And it is that same believing faith that tells me in the name of Jesus we can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. We've tried to make it some kind of a special faith given to somebody. The superstars of religion have pushed it there. Because if we can get everybody looking to them, we'll travel across the nation. And the crowds will be gathered around them. But God wants to say to us that's sitting here this morning is several hundred believers that have been given the authority to use that name. Have been given the authority by God himself to use that name. Against all the forces of darkness. Hallelujah. Whatever he wrought on this earth ought to be wrought by the church. I know that's almost too much to believe. But as I read the Gospels and see him, amen, as he walked the earth, what he did. Then I get into the book of Acts and I see those men use that name so simply that I had to know they knew they were acting representatively. They knew that when Peter can say to Dorcas, I say unto thee, arise. He never even said in the name of Jesus. He just said, I say unto thee, arise. He knew that for him to walk through that door where a dead woman was for Christ to walk through that door. He knew that. He had been given that by the Lord himself. When that crippled man was healed in the book of Acts, Peter said, don't you look on us as if by some power of our holiness we made this man. But it said that name, man, you crucified, the one you put to shame, it's through his name and faith in that name that this man stands here whole today. Hallelujah to God. Amen. It's no longer I that liveth. That's what we need to sing it till we hear it. I said we need to sing it till we hear it. It's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me. Hallelujah. Where I am, Christ is. I need to so live, so walk, so... Oh my God, help us to know we are here to represent Christ on this earth. They got enough of humanistic religion. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. God never intended that there should be any change in the methods or the ministry down through the ages. Only as nations develop should these methods be broadened. But the miraculous element enfolded in the name of Jesus should always be there as a key to demonstrating God alive on this earth. Amen. God alive on this earth. Look in the Gospel of Luke. Amen. The Gospel of Luke has 7 references. Let's just look at them briefly. First of all, in Luke 9:48, it said, whosoever shall receive this little child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receives him that sent me. For he that is least among you all, he that is least among you, the same is the greatest. Now we have the same thought brought out in Matthew. It is just Jesus honoring a little child and giving to the little child its place in the church. Not enough just to take them to Sunday school, folks. They must be made to know that they are in this thing. Amen. In this thing. That they are part of it. That God was giving it to them. Another striking suggestion in this verse. Whosoever receives this child in my name receives me. Think about it. Whoever receives this child in my name receives me. That's the word of the Lord right here. Listen. Inasmuch as you do it unto the least of these, my brethren, you do it unto me. There he teaches the sacredness of that name. To those that took his name, you and I that have took his name, let this world treat us wrong, and they treated God wrong. That's how he connects us with it. You hear me? Amen. Jesus said to Paul, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul could have said to him, it's not you, Lord. It's them fanatics I'm after. But what Jesus was saying was, when you touch one of the believers, you've touched me. They've took my name. They're what I am on this earth. If you hurt them, you hurt me. That's the reason he could say, vengeance is mine. I'll recompense. I'll take care. I'll even the score. Amen. John answered and said, Master, again he put this, he said, we saw one casting out demons in your name, and we forbade him because he didn't follow us. He followed us not. Jesus said, don't stop him. Let him go on. Thank God for anyone who's being helped or blessed, whether they walk with us or not. Amen. Somebody's learned the power of this holy name. Learned what it means to walk in this name. 2 or 3 are gathered together in my name, he said. In my name. Now he talks here, we'll show you how he talks to the unbeliever about believing on his name. But now we're in his name. There's a whole lot of difference. And the 70, listen to it in Luke 10:17. And the 70 returned with joy. Lord, even devils were subject unto us in thy name. Now the disciples had an opportunity of seeing the power of Jesus' name before the day of Pentecost. They had the opportunity to see the actual working and power of that name. He said, take heed that you be not deceived, for many shall come in my name saying, I am he. And then he went on to tell them that was the time, Luke 21:8. Jesus knew that false prophets would arise and impersonate him. Amen. He knew they would come. So he warned the church. Amen. But listen, in the 12th verse of the same chapter, he said the disciples would be brought up before kings and governors for his name's sake, and that repentance and remission of sin should be preached in his name unto all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Now, this is the part of the Great Commission, that repentance and remission of sin are to be preached in his name. Now, you know, you don't go about every other breath saying his name, repent in his name. No, he's saying, I have delegated authority to you to preach to men, to say to men, you repent and your sins can be forgiven. Amen. You don't have to tell them that you got to contact something somewhere else, get a hold of some society, but I've authorized you to preach with power and authority. There's no power in us to forgive sin, but acting on his part, in his stead, he said, in my name, you stand there and you speak to him like I'm there and you preach repentance and remission of sin. You know, there's so much in a lot of religion today. If you don't eliminate, you add to. Pentecost, we've eliminated repentance. Wonder why people are not changed. There's no remission of sin without repentance. Turning. No man ever repents till he's convicted, and he's never convicted till you preach what's wrong with him. You can't deal with sin generally. You have to deal with it specifically. Pinpoint the heart. Find men where they are. When conviction strikes, then repentance can come. And we need to say to them, you repent. And there is a remission of sin. You never have to stand guilty again. I was 27 years old when I found Christ. Amen. My whole life had been mostly sin. But when I knelt that evening in Alice, Texas, January the 21st, will be about 38 years ago, 39. Amen. I knelt in that altar. He forgave me of 27 years. I repented. There was a remission of sin. I was justified by faith. You know what that means? That in the name of Jesus and through the power of his blood, that 27 years of sin was gone. It was as if I had never sinned, and nothing beyond that altar can ever be brought against me again. Isn't that wonderful? No, hallelujah to God. No man can point a finger there and say, you did this. It's gone. God has forgiven, and it is forgotten in his name. He said they preached repentance and remission of sin. I read that this last evening, and as I read that, my spirit leapt within me. He's saying, when Jesus said to that man, thy sins be forgiven thee, he demonstrated to this world. They said, who is he that forgives sin? Only God can do that. And he said to that palsied man, take up your bed and walk. And that crippled man took up his bed and walked. Jesus said, well, it's easier to say, take up thy bed and walk, or thy sins be forgiven thee. He demonstrated he not only had the right, but the power to forgive sin. And now he said, in my name you preach repentance. Amen. In my name, you preach repentance and remission of sin, so that nobody will have an excuse, that you're saying to them, if you'll repent, amen, in the name of Jesus, your sins are remitted. Amen. There is no hocus pocus. You don't have to be baptized to get it over with. You follow him in baptism, but you get there after the sins are forgiven. That in his name, there at that altar, amen, in whatever time it takes you to repent of those sins, and in the name of Jesus is how long it takes you to become a new creature. That's what he's saying. In my name, amen. This is a part. How few of the evangelists and preachers have caught a glimpse of the truth, the place of the name of Jesus in evangelism. In the 8th chapter of the book of Acts, we read that when they listened to Philip preaching the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus, that they turned to Christ. Amen. They listened to him preaching the kingdom and the name of Jesus, and they were saved. What a small place the name of Jesus has in the modern church today. What a small place that name really has in the church. Finally, listen. In the Gospel of John. Listen, God wanted, well said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become children of God, even them that believe on his name. Even them that believe on his name. Salvation comes by believing on the name of Jesus. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover, during the feast, many believed on his name, seeing the signs that he did. John 2:23. Christianity would have a new element in it if we taught the people intelligently what it meant to believe on the name as a sinner and to believe in the name as a believer. If we intelligently taught them what it is to believe on that name as a sinner and to believe in that name as a believer. As a sinner, I believe on the name. As a believer, I'm baptized into it. And then I walk and live in the name. The man, that man, is the head of the church. I walk in that name. Hallelujah. The Bible said, in him we move, we breathe, we have our being. The biologist says, in his description of life, he says, life is the ability to correspond with the environment. Amen. That is the biologist, one of his descriptions of life, the ability to correspond with the environment. That's the natural world. I can tell you the same is true in the spiritual. Amen. Life, spirits, is the ability to correspond with the environment. What is the environment? In God we move, we breathe, we have our being. In his name we breathe, we live. In his name I got up this morning. In his name I live this day. In his name, in his name. Hallelujah. This is what he's saying. He that believeth on him is not judged. He that believeth not has been judged already, because he believed not on the name of the only begotten of the Son of God. Believe not. Judgment has come to man because he did not believe on that name. But listen to this, John 14:13-14. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. The name of Jesus. Finally, whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, that he may give it to you. And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if you ask anything of the Father, he'll give it you in my name. Hitherto, if you ask nothing in my name, asking you shall receive, that your joy may be full. Nothing has changed about that name. The only change has been us. Bow your head.